it is an honor and a privilege here to welcome Kimberly Carter and Foster Gamble. Kimberly Carter Gamble and Foster Gamble to our KSCO studios. Hey, welcome, guys. I mean, how you doing?
So much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Yeah, and boy, I don't like to keep using superlatives, but it really is a masterpiece that you guys have created. How would you describe Thrive? I mean, it's a great, attractive name, but I mean, tell us about it. I mean, three words or less. Now, then we'll expand it for the rest of the program, okay?
Well, it's our best offering into the world at what we consider to be a really critical time for the survival of our species and the survival of life as we know it on our planet. And it's a life's work. It's a labor of love. It was a lot of labor, and we shared a lot of love while creating it. It was a blessing to be able to create it as our partnership. And it's really a film that investigates, as it says in the title, what on earth is it going to take for people and the planet to thrive? It's natural for the life force to want to blossom. So what's in the way of our thriving? And I was privileged personally to be able to spend most of my life trying to figure out the answers to that question.
And How was that you were able to do that?
Well, I found out when I was graduating from college that I was inheriting some money from my grandparents. My family was the Gamble family from Procter & Gamble, and it was founded 5 generations ago, so there's not a lot left, but fortunately I was very blessed to have enough of an inheritance that if I managed it carefully, I could choose what I did with my daily life. And what I chose to do was to try to figure out, why is there so much suffering in human life, and why are we collapsing the ecology on which we depend?
Doesn't it seem to be getting worse, not better with time? I mean, how old were you, or what year was it, should I say, when you first started realizing that there's an awful lot of misery around, and wondering why?
Well, I think it was really in college when I started to travel and started to read more broadly than I had in high school, and started to realize that the majority of people on the planet are struggling, and many of them are not even making it. And with given our technologies and given just the beauty and power of the human spirit, it didn't make any sense to me at all. So I had to figure out what's in the way of our thriving.
And that was in the 70s, would that be?
Yes, I graduated from Princeton in 1970.
I see. Okay, and so you became fascinated. Then what happened? You traveled. You took note of how things were in other countries. I don't know. It seems to me that I haven't done as much traveling as you have, but I've done a good amount. And I guess I haven't gone to countries where there is a lot of misery. I mean, I did go to India once, and that was eye-opening for sure. Wow. So what did you... Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
I don't actually think that you have to travel very far now to see the suffering and to watch just what's happened. I mean,
In our own country, it's getting worse, not better.
Absolutely, and what it takes for people, you know, working hard just to make it, and what used to be... You know, when I was a kid, what it took for a family to have a home and some sense of security compared to what it is now. I watch my kids, you know, both people working full on, everybody busy all the time just to try to pull it together. And I think, you know, for me, my experience of people is that I found people to be actually quite innovative and engaged and caring and capable, and yet so many systems are in decline and things have been getting worse. So part of the motivation was, what's really going on that could account for this increasing deprivation? And how can we engage the glory that I see in people to respond effectively? So the intent is to provide a coherent picture of what's happening in a way that we can engage with more leveraged solutions.
Was it difficult to determine what's going on? And by the way, what is going on?
Well, it took decades and the help of a lot of friends and a lot of really courageous researchers who've been willing to step out of the box and look to see what's true beyond what we're being told by the corporate media. So I am blessed to be able to stand on the shoulders of many researchers who've really put the pieces together of how corporations are interlinked, where, you know, who's controlling the money, who's making the money, what are their motivations, and so forth. So in terms of what's actually going on, the bad news is you're right. Things are getting worse everywhere. They're getting worse in terms of our biosystems, in terms of our economies, in terms of the sickness all over the world, starvation and so forth. The good news is, to make a long story short, it's a very few people who are actually perpetrating a conscious agenda to have it be this way. So for me, that was actually a relief to find out that, no, humanity is not some evolutionary mistake. You know, you see in crises like Katrina again and again that, you know, most people will give you the shirt off their back if you need it. And it turns out, however, that for about the last 400 years, there has been a money scam being perpetrated on countries across the world. And it's called the central banking fractional reserve, you know, fiat money scam. And the essence of it is a few people were given the privilege by some politicians or kings or whoever to make up money themselves. Now, if you were playing someone like that, it wouldn't take them long to buy you out. So in this country, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, and it's taken about 100 years to almost completely collapse the value of the dollar and to be on the verge of a police state. So it turns out that the people who took over money have had an intention to expand that takeover urge to actually control virtually every sector of our life and to create a one-world government with a one-world police force, a one-world currency, and so forth, because that way it's a lot easier to control people. And so, you know, that's a harsh reality because they're actually very close and their intentions are nasty.
When I first heard the term one-world government or new world order, it was from Bush 41, President Bush 41. Now, maybe you heard it long before that, and maybe if I would have been paying attention, I would have heard it long before.
Well, it goes back to Aldous Huxley and others, but really the politicians first started talking about it openly. I think you're right with Bush Sr.
And I think one of the problems is that, like with so many things that they name, you know, a new world order seems like a pretty good idea, given the state of things.
Yeah,
when you
definitely
understand the new world order they're talking about, then it's not one that's, you know, benevolently engaging people the way we need to be.
Okay. Well, so new world order. Now, back when I was in high school, we had an amazing orator named Dr. Stan Monteith come to speak to our American government class. And I've talked about this many times over the years on KSU. My high school government teacher, Mr. Robert Lissner, was just the greatest teacher of my whole high school career. I didn't even want to be in government class. I didn't have the slightest bit of interest. And he broke out papers at the very first day of class in 1967, I think it was. Said, I want you to all write down what you hope to get out of this class. And I wrote down absolutely nothing. The only reason I'm here is because I have to. It's a requirement of graduation, and I challenge you to do anything but put me to sleep here. So, he took the challenge and made it fascinating because on the one he would without letting us know what his personal politics were, one day he would have people like Dr. Stan come and talk to us about the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, you know, the shadowy shadow governments and things like that, controlling our lives. And he was a great public speaker, but all of us, anytime Dr. Stan would come and speak with him, it happened half a dozen times during that year, I think, we would all look at each other and sort of roll our eyes and say, he's a great speaker, but he's got to be a few cents short because this can't be happening. So when was that? That was 44 years ago. And guess what? It's all happening and more.
Yeah. Dr. Monteith is really one of the pioneers in this whole field. And he was doing it when it was very lonely and inhospitable to be talking about those kinds of things. But other people like Eustace Mullins and Jim Mars and David Icke and Alex Jones, who you have on your station here, have really been some of the people who've been willing to go out and truly find the facts and then be willing to stand for those facts and put together their interpretation of them, even if they were written off as crazy before people understood a story here that makes a lot more sense.
None of these people had the guts to stick it out are being considered crazy now. They're being considered courageous, as are you two, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, so, all right, well, let's get a little more specific, if possible. I've been raving about this DVD, this video that you guys have created, you know, ever for the last week since I've seen it, okay? But it would be very, very, and I recommend everybody see this. And I understand that sometime in the mid-March, I think there's going to be a public
March
screening.
March 15th at the Del Mar and March 16th up at UCSC in the Media Center there. So you can actually get tickets for a public screening for UCSC on the 16th. It's at SantaCruzTickets.com. And at the Del Mar, it's at thenick.com. And you can also see Thrive online at thrivemovement.com.
Okay, now, but you don't, yeah, exactly. So if you don't want to wait and you don't have to, I highly recommend watching the movie so that you can know a lot more about what we're talking about. But for the benefit of those who can't or won't, but who are listening to the Saturday special, I want to use this, no, remaining hour and 40 minutes here to bring our audience as up to speed as we might be able to do in this kind short of a format, okay? The message, if you boil the message down, what is it? That we've got a money system that's not real, and we have people who are in control.
Who are obsessed with being in control.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with our corrupt financial and government systems, those people rise more easily to the top because their loyalty is to control whatever it takes, including deceit and corruption and counterfeit and fraud and all the rest.
When we say, are you talking about just the United States, the people, or the whole world?
No, it's really a global situation because it has to do with, it's centered on the central banking system, and the central banking system is global. There are very few countries in the world who have not been sucked into this, and they're the ones primarily that are being attacked now.
Were we sucked into it back in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created, or were we sucked into it at some subsequent time?
Well, it's happened, it's gone back and forth three times in the history of our country. Andrew Jackson spent his presidency fighting the central bankers successfully, and they tried to assassinate him to get him out of the way, and that didn't work. But once he was out of power, they brought in another central bank, and then we got rid of it. But it finally, the big one came in with the Federal Reserve in 1913, and not coincidentally, the IRS was created the same year because it was basically a deal between the politicians and the bankers where the politicians said, okay, we'll give you the right to make money if you will print money for us anytime we need it. You know, if we need to pay off our cronies, if we want to go take over somebody else's oil or something like that, you know, you make up money. And we're in the midst of the biggest one of those fake money creations in the history of the planet right now.
You want to say something?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think when you say boil it down in a nutshell, what's this about? And we can talk more about what's going on in terms of this scam and the horror that results from it and is resulting from it, and the way that Thrive is laid out, both our movie and our website, is that our intention is to show that by getting a handle on what it is that's happening and how it operates, it really allows us to inform our solutions in a way that we can tackle this with you know, with responses that are commensurate to the task. Because otherwise you see a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, but they're not coherent and organized, and they're not focused on the economic system,
on
which is really the way
it.
It's
yeah.
coming down. So I think so our intention has been to help leverage the solutions by cohering the problems in a way that you can really wrap around it. And so the point of Thrive was to kind of get the minimum sufficient clarity that you need in the core issues in order to then walk away and have a better sense of it. And if you want then to go and find out more, our website is, you know, you could spend months on our website. You can actually get academic credit through Wisdom University and Gaia University for studying what's
wow.
on the website, because they value also the critical thinking that just needs to happen for people to move forward from
and
here.
And that's thrivemovement.com.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I also want to say that this kind of horror story of this perpetration of this global domination agenda, as we call it, is a really important reality to understand, and yet it's only what's in the way of our thriving. And the Thrive, the movie, is very much about the beauty of nature and the human spirit and really viable solutions.
It doesn't get into the currency or the politics or anything until like two-thirds of the way through the movie.
Yeah, fully half of the movie is dedicated to solutions. And I remember the pivotal moment when we were making the movie. I was working on the script in the Global Domination Agenda section. I finally went to Kimberly and I said, I need help. I said, I don't know how to tell people that their hair is on fire without freaking them out. And her answer was really unforgettable. She said, well, the way I would do it is I'd say, look at this beautiful bucket of water next to you. And by the way, your hair's on fire. So we start the movie showing the way out. Then we talk about what's in the way and then have a full hour of very practical solutioning at the end.
Now I understand the significance of that. Okay. All right. Let's go. We're talking with Foster Gamble and Kimberly Carter Gamble, producers of Thrive, what in the world?
What on earth
will it take? It's a DVD that runs 2 hours and 12 minutes. I believe you can still, go to ksco.com and click on the banner at the very top of our website and watch it. And you can stop it and start it. And normally, I think it's like, what is it? You buy it at your website for
$5. Yeah.
And just get it snail mailed to you, right?
And you can buy the DVD for $20. You can stream it online for $5.
Or you can see it.
For free right now at KSCO.
And you can also gift it forward to other people for 20% off at $4.
Yeah, and you can come to a screening in Santa Cruz at the Del Mar or up at UCSC on March 15th and 16th.
Right. Okay, now you did this because you wanted to get the word out about what is going on in our world, okay? You didn't do this to make money. I mean, right? It costs. It must have cost a fortune.
It's not why we did it.
Very, very high production value.
We put all of our money into it, and we actually had to bring in investors to take it all the way there, because our intention was to create a beautiful movie that was high level, where people felt felt a quality of attention and care and research and production that went into it, which it did. And we wanted this movie to appeal to people all over the world. It's dubbed in 10 languages. That's expensive in itself. So we put millions of dollars. We brought investors in, and our intention has been to make enough money from it to be able to pay back making it and fund this movement. Because
yes.
We have on our website, there's something called critical mass actions, and they are some of the most leveraged actions that we've identified that we think people can take. And one of the strategies is sort of safety in numbers, that we say, look, if 1 million people were going to participate in actions for shutting down the Fed, for example, would you participate in that? Give us the name and number, your name now, and we'll let you know when we've reached 1 million people for that critical mass, because it's obviously a lot more effective when 1 million people are organized than 10 or 20 or 1,000.
Sure.
So anyway, to help this, we have people who are interfacing all the time as part of our Thrive team. And so that's the intention, is to be able to keep the movement going and dubbing it in 10 languages and getting it out as easily as we can by having it on the web. That was
okay.
Our intention.
Now you correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that you know, your motivation, your primary motivation for this is to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We mentioned Alex Jones previously on this program, and yes, he is on both of our stations. I've gotten to know Alex quite well, and the more I get to know him, the more I respect the man. He has quite an operation. He makes like 4 DVDs a year now. And he funds them with money bombs that he does, you know, after right. the Ron Paul idea. But something that I find that's really fascinating that Alex does, and why he is his celebrity and awareness of Alex Jones and what he's about, which is the same, I think, as what you guys are about getting yeah. the word out about yeah. what's really, really happening, okay, which is what Dr. Stan is about, you know. What Alex does that I think is fascinating is he tells people, you know, support. There are many ways to support what we're doing. You know, support the broadcast, buy longevity products. You know, he's involved in our longevity business as well. It's a way to keep alternative ways to get things going. But with respect to his video productions, what Alex does quite regularly is say, you know, buy these DVDs and copy them all you want and distribute them. And if you can't afford it, for God's sakes, I'll pay for the downloading. I'll pay for the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. He shared with me that his, you know, this was like a year and a half ago, his monthly bandwidth, you know, cost that he funds himself was over a couple $100,000 per right. month. You know, just from people who can't afford, who presumably can't afford, you know, maybe they're freeloaders, who knows. But he's happy to put out the word however it gets out. You know, if you can afford to buy, please, hopefully you will buy our DVDs. But once you do that, we want you to get the word out. We don't prohibit you from copying them. We encourage you
right.
to copying. Have you guys thought about doing that, or is that the plan after you get the thing fully paid for, or what?
The plan is our hope and intention is to be able to put it out and just make it super available for people online, mm-hmm. not through the DVDs copying,
right.
because that would be the way to help fund the movie. But to have it, you know, at this stage of the game, anybody can see things on the internet, and so that would our hope is that we're going to do everything we can to make it as easily accessible. And our initial idea was that for $5, you know, you can screen it to as many people as you want. Just gather a community around it's right there and available for you. So that was our thought in the beginning, that would be affordable and easy for everybody. We're looking at all the ways that we can, because we see the global thirst for this, and we see how ready people are for it. So we're definitely exploring all we can. It won't be copy the DVD, but it'll be out there on
sure,
the internet.
Sure, sure. Okay, ultimately for free. Or for free download.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that'd be good. I've done some Googling and, you know, comments, and people say, oh, you know, I mean, we really want to get this information out. You know, you should make it available for free, you know, using technology and not be charging anything. Well, I don't buy that at all. I mean, I'm from a video production background myself, and I can see the production value of this thing. I mean, it cost a bundle to
yeah.
produce.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with getting reimbursed for your tremendous expense. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making a profit either, actually. I really don't.
Well, you well know from this station, whatever means you find, you have to find a way to have a viable business model if you're going to,
or you're going to go away.
And if
you go away, then the good that you're doing goes away also.
Yes, and right. people like Alex have the products, and they have a subscription model, and they have sponsors and so forth, and those are all possible ways that we could go. Right now, the main thing we have of value to offer is the DVD, and people fortunately are buying that in great numbers.
That's
and
great.
The more
good.
that happens, the more, frankly, we'll be able to give away for free. But there have been over 3,000 self-created screenings, either in people's homes or in auditoriums up to, 1,000 people, that people either don't charge for, in which case we don't charge them, or if they're charging and doing a fundraiser for their organization or something like that, then we have a minimal license fee. But it's actually very easy to get access to this, and the more that people are responding to it, the better we'll be able to give it away. But we can't afford to give it. Other people can give it to one another. We can't afford at this point to give it to everyone in the world.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Foster Gamble and Kimberly Carter Gamble are the guests on the Saturday special. We haven't opened the phone lines yet, but I see we already have callers. So, the pilot in command, Nikki James, tells me that we got to do a commercial break. And when Nikki tells me we got to do a commercial break, I better listen or else. Okay, so we will be back right after this. Stay with us. You're listening to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Reach for the sky. Hello, I'm Chris Gallardi of Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey airports. You can reach for the sky in one of Specialized Aviation's airplanes or helicopters. And it will be so easy, you'll wonder why you waited so long to fly.
Hello, I'm Mary McDonald. I'm an aerobatic pilot here at Specialized Aviation. Join us at the Watsonville Aviation Thrill Center for all kinds of extreme flying fun. I'm talking aerobatics from 3,000 feet, where you loop, roll, spin, and dance over the Monterey Bay, or a graceful helicopter tour for that over-the-top view of all the magic the beautiful Monterey Bay has to offer, or take on the adventure and challenge of learning to fly a helicopter or an airplane, or jump out of an airplane and free fall from 14,000 feet. It's all here, and at prices starting at only $33.
Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey airports, 831-763-2244, or sphelly.com.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring California 1-pound clamshell strawberries, 2 for $4. Enjoy some for dessert tonight. From Mexico, we have tender green asparagus, $1.49 a pound, English cucumbers, 88 cents each, and barbecue white corn, 49 cents each. And from Chile, we have red seedless grapes, $1.29 a pound, and yellow nectarine, $1.89 a pound. In organics, we have local grown organic broccoli, 99 cents a pound, organic pink lady apples, $1.29 a pound, and California organic romaine lettuce, $1.19 each. 4-pound bag of organic Valencia oranges, only $2.99 a bag. Our weekend specials include yellow squash, 69 cents a pound, jumbo mangoes, $1.89 each, and large organic mangoes, $1.49 each. Fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
MZ back again to underscore and stress my strong endorsement of and satisfaction with Mark Concrete, the unique company that created the beautiful custom inlaid concrete table for our new state-of-the-art talk studio here at KSCO. You've probably heard my earlier ad for Mark Concrete, but I forgot to tell you that Mark's work has been featured in Sunset Magazine and on the popular TV series Dirty Jobs. I recommend you cite markconcrete.com to see photos and videos of some of Mark's amazing creations from concrete. You can even watch the entire Dirty Jobs feature program on markconcrete.com. Mark Lesnick is a magician when it comes to concrete. I'm talking about things like tables, bars, bathtubs, sinks, benches, countertops, just about anything you can imagine the famous Mark from Mark Concrete can create for you. Again, go to his website, markconcrete.com, and check out his work. Or call him at 236-0000. That's 236-0000. If you want something special and unusual made out of concrete, think Mark Concrete. Call 236-0000 and tell him MZ sent you.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hey y'all, MZ here to tell you something you may not know, that my show, The Saturday Special, is worth listening to, even if you can't listen live from 10 a.m. to 12 noon each Saturday morning on KSO AM 1080. The recent show we did on Ron Paul, Can He Win the Presidency, was excellent and can be heard on demand in the podcast section of our KSCO.com website. Get into the habit of listening to the Saturday special, either live or on demand at KSCO.com. For 11 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. We're talking about Thrive, the extraordinary DVD that I recommend that everybody view. Find out what's going on. It's a really well done explanation of the currency system, about how our money is really basically nothing. It's basically nothing. It's just smoke and mirrors, you know, and it's probably not a good thing to put that out in public, because, you know, if what can possibly happen, Foster Gamble?
Lincoln tried to turn that around, and a few weeks later he was shot. And then John Kennedy tried to undermine the fiat money central banking system.
What does fiat mean?
Fiat means that the government is just making up whatever they want. That they're controlling the money supply rather than having the money actually reflect the goods and services that are in the culture.
Means fake.
So fiat means fake. I
not
always
based
thought
on anything real.
So is there not an Italian automobile called Fiat, or maybe they're out of business? Why would somebody
probably why
name,
they went out of business?
If that's what the word means, why would someone name an automobile that?
It probably means something different in Latin.
Hopefully, I don't know.
I think Fiat means to make, actually, in Latin. Going back to my elementary school correctly.
Right. So anyhow. I want to open up the phone lines and make this interactive, you know, with our audience as soon as possible. But before we do that, I want to ask you a real simple question. And I did watch the whole movie, but I'm going to have to watch it a few more times. I mean, unquestionably, because I know that Offer Solutions at the end now, or more than, you know, more than the end, last half or half or third of the movie Offer Solutions. Is one of those solutions, switching to a currency system that is not fiat, is real, okay? What would that mean? Would that mean not automatic inflation? Is that what that would mean? And did we not have that kind of a system in place here? Didn't Franklin Roosevelt say that you can't have gold bars anymore or something like that? And
yes.
And what changed? Are you still not allowed to have gold bars, but you're allowed to have gold coins? Is that what's going on here?
No, you are allowed to have gold bars and gold coins. It's just that you're not allowed to base the currency on it. And that's why the central bankers and the financial elite and so forth are buying up and hoarding as much gold as possible, as well as
what happens if you want to base your currency on it in your own mind, and hopefully there will be like-minded people join you.
That's the key, Michael, right there. Is the key word is voluntary. If we simply had a voluntary system where people could create currencies, just like you'd have a local barter system, or if somebody wants to do a fiat dollar system, they're free to do that. But then people are free to go to whatever currency they think is most reliable. And very quickly, the fiat currencies would go out of business, because you could actually know that there was gold in the vault, or there was some other commodities in the vault with a real commodities-based money system.
Yeah, and I can remember back as a high schooler having to rush to go to the San Francisco Mint with my 130 or so silver certificate, you know, individual dollar bills that said silver certificate, because after a certain date, they were not, you know, you're not going to be able to redeem them for silver. Right. So I got to buy 100 ounce, because it was $1.30 an ounce back then in the 1960s, bar of silver. by getting rid of my silver certificates. Now, if you see a silver certificate, it says, we'll pay to the bearer on demand, you know, $1 in silver. But it's not true.
Well, there's a man named Bernard von Nothaus, who, an unfortunate name for a pioneer, but he created something called the Liberty Dollar, where he actually had silver and gold backed. He had silver and gold coins, and he had silver and gold backed Liberty Dollars. And so he started this. He actually got permission to start this up as an alternative currency. But it got so popular so fast that recently he was raided by the FBI. They confiscated everything he had, and he's now awaiting sentences. They called it counterfeit. And we know another guy named Franklin Sanders who created a real bank that actually had – they kept your money in the bank rather than just multiplying it by 10 and loaning it out. And as he started to get successful, they raided him and shut him down.
I guess we were lucky back, 15 years ago. You probably haven't been listening to KSCO that long, or maybe you have, I don't know. But we used to have a program called The Thinking Machine with Mr. Logic. And Mr. Logic used to pose puzzle questions on his show every Sunday, and people who correctly answered the puzzle question became members of the highly prestigious Thinkers Club, KSCO Thinkers Club. And after a while, we came up with having some KSCO dollars, and that's why I'm saying the more I hear you guys talk, the more I realize. We're lucky to be here. We're lucky we weren't arrested for having KSCO dollars, because I even have some in my office here, and I was running across them. I said, "This is cool. It would be very nice if we could have KSCO dollars."
And well, there are some local barter systems around the country, and as long as it's sort of small and local and doesn't start threatening the major money system, they'll let you do it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we weren't so lucky after all, though.
Our solutions that we get into are way more far-reaching than, getting gold. But really the core of what we're talking about is non-violation and voluntary, that there's, we start the movie with an understanding of how nature works and the fundamental pattern that nature uses to evolve, because one of the things about natural systems is they are sustainable. And one of the things about our current systems is that we're struggling with sustainability on every front. And so we use that as a template by which to measure how to go about creating solutions. And so part of it is with an honest money system, because you wouldn't see nature basing something on what isn't there,
sure.
Or the complete dominance of one part at the expense of all the rest.
Right.
This is one of the most exciting parts. What Kimberly's touching on here with what we call the code in the film is it. This is like some mega thriller movie or something like that, except it's true. It turns out that nature has one fundamental pattern by which it sustains a healthy system, and most people don't even know that. It's called the torus, T-O-R-U-S, and it's a donut-shaped vortex, and it's the shape of the electromagnetic field around a live seed or a human or a planet or a sun or a galaxy. It turns out it's the only pattern that sustains in nature, and nature's showing it to us everywhere, but we're not usually even taught it in school.
And it's spelled the same as the Ford Taurus, T-A?
No, that's like the astrological sign. That's T-A-U-R-U-S.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what did you
say?
So
it's T-O-R-U-S.
T-O-R-U-S. Okay.
But the
toroidal.
That's right.
Shaped.
And the beauty of this is that if we can align our systems with the principles of the Taurus, we can have sustainable energy systems, money systems, communication systems, and so forth. We're being shown a blueprint as to how to do this everywhere in nature, and now we're just beginning to learn how to do it.
Okay. That was Foster Gamble speaking. And he is in the studio with us along with his lovely bride, Kimberly Carter Gamble. It's the KSCO Saturday Special. We're going to open the phone lines, encourage you to call 479-1080. That's in area 831. If you're listening to us on our internet stream at KSCO.com and you want to participate in the program, you'll have to call us at area code 831-479-1080. Let's go to the phone lines now. And take our first caller, Just. Just Listening. Hi, Just Listening. You're on KSCO.
Actually, it's Rory, Just Listening. Fascinating subject. My question for your guest is, let's look up the definition of fiat. I know you can get it online pretty quick, but I think that the major problem with the fiat currency is it's open for abuse because of the ability to print that out of thin air money supply, and that's what's been going on for almost 100 years now. We're debauching our money supply, and we're seeing the value just drop. And the quick way to look at that for the average person is, what's the value of an ounce of gold right now versus 100 years ago? And I think that's a simple way for most people to get their mind around it. An ounce of gold 100 years ago was, what, $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it now? It fluctuates, but it's around $1,700. So, anyway, I just thought that might be an interesting way to pass on some info. What does that fiat stand for? It's F-I-A-T, right?
Yes. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay,
anyway,
Rory.
I'll keep listening on Just Listening, if you don't mind.
Well, actually, I'd rather you wouldn't, please, Rory, because it takes up few calls.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
If I'm tying up a line, no.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. So that's why I wanted to take you first, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
There goes Rory. Here's Dan in Pacific Grove. Dan, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, good morning. I look forward to watching your film. I wrote down your website.
Thank you.
And I'll look at that today. But from what I've heard so far, sounds very positive, very enlightening.
Oh, it is. Good terms to describe them.
There's an aspect of this large subject that you're addressing. Well, for one thing, I've a little bit of background. I've been exposed to a lot of the information since childhood that you're talking about, and there's many sources that very well document everything I've heard you speak to this morning. And one aspect of this I would like you to comment on is the massive and systemic propaganda being heaped on the young people of our country, which promotes the very sick concept that we are living in an age of diminished possibilities, of small dreams. And this concept so refutes history, human history, well documented, that really angers me. I feel very passionate on this subject. And my outlook is that in the current era we live in, technology has opened up so many doors around the world. We currently live in an age when more people have more access to more information and communication than ever before in human history. To promote the concept to schoolchildren that somehow we cannot address the challenges of our time, whether that's increasing population, allocation of resources, new forms of energy to power our lives, our needs. That concept is being promoted in our schools, taught to our children, and which murders hope, which I think is one of the most evil things a person could do, is to diminish or kill hope. That is the fount of progress. And this, I truly believe, and nobody could ever dissuade from this viewpoint, I truly believe we are living on the verge of a golden age if people will make the right choices.
Okay.
And to kill that idea is to kill human progress. It just baffles and angers me that anybody would promote such negative concepts to children, that they must downsize their dreams. Possibilities do not exist. We must kill each other off because the planet cannot support us. When in my reality, these are some of the challenges of our times. And I look at a 6-year-old child or an 18-year-old going to Cabrillo and sometimes talk about these things, and I've seen their eyes light up in front of me. The concept maybe for the first time that heard this idea that, hey, we have a long history behind us and we have a lot of future ahead of us, and they should look at and examine closely and question everything they're being taught. Where we live, how we live, the way we build our houses, the way we produce our energy, the way we move things around, that this is the way people progress. We can find better ways of doing things. We don't need to listen to these lying, manipulative scam artists like Al Gore telling us it's all over. We're all screwed. It's just such a sick, negative concept to promote. It really angers me.
We are happy you brought positivity to the world today through the Saturday special.
This is reality. Okay.
Yeah, Dan, I really appreciate your compassion and your perspective on this, and I think you're really accurate. In fact, when we started making this movie, I mean, one of the reasons we most wanted to do it was to offer clear information and hope for young people. And one of the first things we did was we interviewed 20 college-age students at an ecology conference down near Santa Barbara. And these were bright, educated people who were committed to working for the health of the planet and so forth. And one of the questions we asked them all was, what's your vision of how it could be on planet Earth? What would it look like if it were really thriving? And out of all 20, only two of them could come up with a positive vision. And I was really, really struck by that. And it turns out one of the people that we interviewed in the film was a award-winning teacher named John Gatto, who quit teaching when he started to see what was really going on, and researched for 15 years and wrote a book called The Underground History of American Education, where he literally documents the intentional dumbing down of American children. And so this is not an accident. It's not just a human foibles. This was part of the intention of these elite to create both a docile workforce and enthusiastic consumers in order to keep their corporate machine going. So as this is getting exposed now, people won't put up with that kind of education for their kids in the future. I'm confident of that.
And also, I just wanted to add that one of the things that we do, we really unpack a vision of the future in Thrive, that the whole last part of the movie is that, you know, what we say is that as important as understanding what's in the way is understanding what's really possible and holding a vision of that. So we do a lot to actually create our vision and put it out there and invite others to join in with that, because I agree it's really absolutely essential that we have our intention and vision lined up.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for calling 479-1080 in Area 831, the Saturday special on KSCO. Here's Mike in Scotts Valley. You're next up, Mike.
Great program. On the fiat thing, I looked it up, and basically it's from Old Latin, and it says, let it be done. But that's all I want to speak about now.
Thank you.
You could just say, let the printing presses roll.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to ask about the 100 mile per gallon carburetor. Is that technology lost?
I think it's reemerging very rapidly. I have heard very reputable people say that has been around for, 60, 70 years or something like that, but suppressed, which I really believe. I've spent a lot of time investigating alternative energy, alternative fuels, and so forth. And anyone that becomes dramatically successful has been suppressed. The film Who Killed the Electric Car lays that out pretty clearly. And now we're finally seeing electric cars coming in. So all of these high-level carburetors, these radiant energy devices, zero-point energy devices, and so forth, I'm confident that they will be coming out soon, and that there's a tremendous amount of energy, probably more than any single topic in Thrive. The response we've been getting from all over the world to our section on new energy technologies is the most enthusiastic. We're getting daily. We're getting multiple papers from scientists. We're getting contacted by inventors who've been under the radar so far, and we're getting contacted by people with resources who want to invest or contribute to getting these things out. So I think we are on the dawn of a new era.
But for somebody like me, who's been forced into early retirement and is kind of a tinkerer, I've gone online and seen some attempts, but it seems like this technology must have been documented somewhere. And would be, I mean, they can't kill us all. We need something that's going to get us 100 miles per gallon right now.
Well, I think that the time is coming soon. And I recently did a video blog on this topic on our website, because so many people are writing in and saying, well, if this stuff is real, why don't somebody just, you know, print the blueprints on the internet or do a demonstration in public? And I've visited a number of these labs and met the people who have been brutally suppressed, literally had their doors broken down and the FBI SWAT teams come in and take all their stuff and threaten their lives. And some of the inventors or writers have not survived. And so there I know several who are very capable of coming out with those technologies now. They have in the past, but they are not doing it currently because their lives have been threatened. And I honor that. I think we're creating a plan where we're gathering enough inventors and enough credibility and enough money to protect these.
I hate to interrupt here, but we're at the top of the hour. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's CNN News.
I'm Barbara Hall. In Kabul, Afghanistan today, two American NATO troops were shot and killed inside the country's interior ministry.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey. Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
We continue with Hour 2 and Encore of today's Saturday special with MZ.
This program is coming to you pre-recorded. When telephone numbers are mentioned, please don't call.
No. It's a helicopter. It was a rotorcraft.
I know.
And Chris Gillardi.
I've never been on one. I don't think I can handle
it. Well, I had never been on one. You know, I am a pilot. In fact, I even have an instrument rating that I got in 1970. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I learned something new every day about you.
But I had never even once flown in a rotorcraft, in a helicopter.
Oh, cool.
And a few years back, I told that to Chris, and you know, from Specialized Helicopter, and mm-hmm. he was blown away. He said, oh, we got to fix that, MZ.
Yeah.
So we got in, and this was at the Watsonville fly-in, I think, one of those fly-in shows. And we went up, and we didn't very far. He made the decision that, you know, the fog was coming in and about to envelop us here pretty quickly, so he aborted it. So I have been up for probably 150 feet or so, you know, above ground. But I got to go back and do it for real.
Cool.
With Chris. In fact, he told me that I should take lessons, and that's something I've always wanted to do, so I could be just like Clint Eastwood.
Do it.
You know,
now's the time.
It is.
Go.
It might be too.
It's not too late.
Like right now?
Yeah.
Before we end
it? I'll finish it. No worries.
You'll finish the show? Okay. All righty. That's great. So anyhow, here we are. I was going to say, on your way to or from, the helicopter ride with Specialized Helicopters.
Oh, okay.
Go buy the California Grill.
Yes.
It's a wonderful restaurant.
Great place.
Right there at the corner of Freedom and Airport mm-hmm. Boulevards. Also a sponsor of the Saturday special.
Yes.
And the food there is out of this world. They have the old chef of the menu of that wonderful restaurant that everybody's angry, you know,
is
closed.
Gone, right?
Yeah, Adolph's. Mm-hmm. Remember Adolph's in Santa Cruz for many years?
Man.
They have the special steak. It's just as good. They have the chunks of tomato that are just that explode in your mouth with flavor, you know, the Italian tomato chunk salad dressing. It's absolutely wonderful. Go down there and tell Paul or Neely that MZ and KSCO sent you, and you will be very pleased with the home-cooked, really high-quality food.
Mm.
Okay, California Grill, corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard, on your way to or from your helicopter ride with Specialized Helicopter.
Sweet.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 479-1080 is the phone number here at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. But, you know, I shouldn't. It's just sacrilegious to start hour number two without doing it officially, you know, playing that jingle with that sexy babe from the 50s.
That
sidetracked today to have a stimulating discussion of a movie that you should all watch to find out what's really going on behind the scenes.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
Got a number of emails that I will read, but let's go back to the phone lines first here. We have people who have been waiting. And by the way, we do have open lines at 479-1080, 479-1080. That's in area 831 if you're outside the area code listening to us online or through your smartphone. We would love to entertain your thoughts and comments and questions here on the Saturday special, where our special guests today are Foster Gamble and Kimberly Carter Gamble. They're talking about the video, the DVD called Thrive that they have produced. There's a website called ThriveMovement.com that you should all visit. And it's fascinating stuff here that's 40 years in the making, that was just produced. I think production was finished. When was it? Last October, November? Does that sound exact?
11/11.
It was finished on 11/11. Okay.
Well, it was released on November 11th.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And it's all about, you know, the money and banking system and energy fields and all kinds of neat stuff here that if you watch it, you will be... You will be intrigued and inspired. And it actually has some solutions set forth here. So give us a call at 479-1080 if you want to be part of the program here. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. It would be Anonymous Phil in Santa Cruz. Hi, Anonymous Phil.
Hi. I watched the movie last night, and I'd have to say I agree with at least 80% of it. I'm a little skeptical on some of it, particularly in the beginning, talking about the free energy motor, for lack of a better name. I don't know what you call it. But if something like that is possible, it looked like it was fairly simple. And it kind of plays off the guy talking about the carburetor. If you didn't want to make a fortune on it yourself and you were being suppressed, then why not make a copy of it or several copies of it and just surreptitiously around the world? Pretty soon it would catch on. There'd be so many people making it they couldn't do anything about it. So if you could explain, I don't know if you can or not, how does it work? Does it suck off the Earth's magnetic field? Or how does this thing work? If it was good, why isn't it just out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And first of all, I would pose to anyone who thinks that these are just hoaxers that I'm not familiar with the government spending a lot of time and money raiding the laboratories of hoaxers. So it certainly adds some credibility to the fact that these people may be real. And I got to visit some of these labs with some physicists and engineers and to verify some of this stuff. And I think that the strategy that you're talking about is a good one. And I think that it's one that we're going to be seeing coming out. It's a challenging one to choose for an inventor who's struggled and risked their lives and spent their money and all that to just give it away. But there are more and more of them that are talking about that and realizing that that may be the only way that it can come out. In terms of how they work, some of the ones that I've seen, some of them are based on magnets, just the natural power that is built into any magnetic field, because there's a push and a pull built in, and there are a number of magnetic motors that take advantage of that, getting a wheel to rotate, and they're more sophisticated ones that actually create a rotating magnetic field electronically, so that you don't have to have a piece of steel whirling at thousands of revolutions per minute. The key to the most profound ones that I've seen is that they're tapping the energy of which all of us are made, and the energy that is in our ambient environment, as opposed to needing to take fossil fuel or and burn it or crush an atom and try to control the explosion or something like that. Because it turns out we don't live in a vacuum, even in so-called empty space. It's full of astronomical, literally, amounts of energy. And a lot of that is the so-called life force. Physics only represents, it really measures the death side of the toroidal cycle. It measures the energy coming off a system. But physics doesn't go into what makes a seed, you know, what organizes a fetus, because